Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, Trashlings. This episode of Space Trash is all about Endgame and the Royal Racism Row revelations, but we've also got a special Patreon episode all about this story in the Telegraph that just came out by Camilla Tominy called Why Has Meghan Never Really Taken to Kate? So listen to this episode and then join the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast, to hear why the Queen of Leos and the Queen of Capricorns hate each other's guts. patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. Okay, here is your free episode.
Space Trash.
Trash in space.
Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space Trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, Trashlings. Welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lost us to the rich and Uranus. I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Mulshine. And I'm very sorry for my absence for the past month or so.
Yeah, what the heck?
I had a lot of guests visiting and I was burning the candle at both ends. You know how it is when people are visiting and they say, we don't have to do anything. You don't have to entertain, but you still do. And I'm dealing with the newborn. I was just on this schedule of feeding her all morning, forcing myself to leave the house, white knuckling it for 4 hours or so, coming back and feeding her all night. Like, that's been my daily routine. So now I'm back.
Wow. But what a like essential worker you are. Like, wow. Like needed. Like those titties be utility.
Yes. It's crazy. It's
utilities.
Yeah. And you've been busy too.
You've been ushering in new life and I've been ushering out life. And
you've been ushering it out. I'm so sorry for your loss. Your aunt passed away. But I was just saying, I think you could be a death doula of sorts.
Well, I have to be honest. I know one of our last pods before our hiatus, I did say maybe I should go to Israel and try to create peace in the Middle East as a rabbi. Now I'm like, maybe I should just work at hospice. Like, I do think either way, I can carry the weight. I definitely can be the light in the darkness. Like, I'm like a crisis actor, sort of. Like, my unique skill set is I can be very funny in very dark times.
Yeah, yeah. Death becomes you. In a way.
It does. I put the ha in hospice. Not to make it too astrological, but that is what we're doing here. It's because my moon and my Mars are in my eighth house, which is my Scorpio house. And my whole sixth house, the daily routines, are also in Scorpio. So whether it's transformation or transitioning to another, plane dimension, I do that Scorpio transition work.
Speaking of Scorpios, we are talking today about the alleged royal racist.
Wait, one more thing though, speaking of Scorpios.
Okay.
So I did record a podcast with Desi about the big Snoop Dogg prank.
What's the big Snoop Dogg prank?
Oh my God. Okay, so basically he put out a statement that was like, I'm giving up smoke. But it turned out he meant like smoky grills. And it was an ad for smokeless grills.
So dumb.
And so dumb, so funny. Desi and I recorded an equally dumb, funny pod about it, but her mic wasn't working and I didn't post it because I was like, this is just sort of dumb now. Like, I just didn't edit it in time. But,
So you guys just talked about Snoop Dogg for 2 hours.
Well, yeah, but the one thing that we discovered that was incredible that like I cannot let go unknown is that another chart twin of Daff,
Snoop Dogg?
Yeah. Daffy so far has the same chart as Will Smith. And Snoop.
Wow. She's going to be a rapper.
DJ Dizzy Daff.
DJ Dizzy Daff. DJ Dizzy Daff on the double D's.
Whoa. Literally. Literally.
It's perfect. Soul fam. Wow.
Yeah. That's for real, though. For real,
I can't wait to tell Nick. Okay.
Anyway. Back to the goods. The royal family. Racism in the royals.
Yes. racist royals, royal racism row. That's what they always call it here. They love the alliteration. Prince Charles is the Scorpio and alleged royal racist I was alluding to. And also, Kate Middleton's name is getting thrown into the mix.
I saw that.
So, okay, what do I need? I feel like this is sort of, this story is huge, but it's also so in the weeds that I don't even know where to begin when I start explaining all the background and the context.
This was like a publishing flub on Holland?
Right. That seems to be what Omid Scobie, the author, is sort of trying to imply. Right. So he was trying to imply that it was a mistranslation. But a really good point that has been brought up is, how do you mistranslate a name? How do you mistranslate the names Charles and Catherine?
In the same sentence as, these are the people that asked about Argy's skin color.
Right. It's not. Come on. So, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Omid Scobie wrote a book called Finding Freedom about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle leaving the royal family. It was controversial. It was part of a court case. He and Meghan both like low-key perjured themselves by saying to the court that they did not, that Meghan did not help with the book, but then it turned out she did, and she had to apologize to the court for misleading them. So Omid has a history of deep ties to Meghan and Harry, and he has now come out with a second book, Endgame, about the, you know, he's kind of implying that it's the end of the royal family, but it's just kind of, I don't know, it's like a rehash of all the gossip of the last few years, and it's sort of supposed to be grappling with these questions of, like, what is a modern monarchy? Why do we need one? In this book, Endgame, in the Dutch version, which came out in the Netherlands, just because I have baby brain and I forgot what Dutch meant. I'm not going to lie to you.
Was I right with Holland? I think I might have made that up. Do I have baby brains, or am I right?
I know. Holland and the Netherlands are interchangeable.
Okay, great. Okay, great. Yes. I don't have the brains of a baby.
Right. And fun fact, Pennsylvania Dutch is not even Dutch at all. None of them were Dutch. They were German, but the German word for German is Deutsch. So all the English settlers thought that they were saying they were Dutch, but they were like, sprechen Sie Deutsch? So they called them Pennsylvania Dutch. So that's just
wait, we should be calling them the Pennsylvania Deutsch?
Yeah. Pennsylvania Deutsch bags.
Rebrand.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I talking about?
Omit the details, Scobie.
Omit the details, Scobie, yes. Okay. So the Dutch translation of this book says, like,
Charles and Kate are racist.
Yeah, it says everything the English version says, and it's like, P.S. Charles and Kate did it.
It seems like what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and that was revealed by a Dutch journalist who was like, hang on a minute, this detail is not being reported. And he realized that apparently it wasn't in the English editions of the book, because it would have been front page news if it was.
Right.
So first, like, none of the British media was saying who it was because they were scared of lawsuits. Friend of the pod, my mom is here, and we can get her maybe to talk about libel law.
Please.
But she's playing she's playing hard to get. So I don't know. She'll probably just yell if she hears me say something inaccurate. And then we
but that's like why she's a true, like, no, we need to take more of her advice. Cause like she would know when to play hard to get and when not to. And that's like the cool. Now we're like, come on, Matt.
I know. So this journalist said, wait a minute, it seems like no one in the UK has this information. So he made it public, and then Piers Morgan was the first British journalist to say it on air. Now, I cannot find the actual verbiage of the book, like what it says, what the Dutch version says that they said. The only thing that everyone is referencing is that it says they had the conversations.
So from the news clips that I listened to, that was a big topic of the UK morning show fodder, which was that basically, from what I understand, the book said the two people that posed the question that we didn't know about so far were Charles and Kate. but that it specifically left out like the context. And so like, we don't really know if they were saying like, ew, will he be dark skinned? I meant to cut that, but like.
That's what I thought they said.
That's been reported, but I think, or, but like other, you know, it's so funny. The UK is so funny because I saw like on a few shows, they like specifically had like black correspondents coming on to be like, we don't know the context. So they're really trying to like, I think that what they're trying to do is defend Charles and Kate by saying, look, they might have been asking about what like or contemplating what Archie will look like, but it might not have necessarily been in an ew or like oh kind of way. It might have just been like, you know, gosh, I wonder if he's gonna look, my kids, it's gonna be like, are they gonna look super Jewish or what, you know, like that. That's just like a, that's not necessarily an insulting question. It's just, so I think that's what Piers was trying to say, that he was trying to say, or the Piers clips that I watched and a couple of the morning show clips were trying to say, that in the Dutch version, they did say that the people that were wondering about what he was going to look like were Kate and Charles, but that he specifically didn't include any sort of
details
or context or tone of voice even.
Yeah, I think that. So Tom Bauer, our old friend,
Tom
Bauer of Brains of a Baby. I say it all the time now. If you're a new listener, Brains of a Baby is, okay, Tom Bauer wrote a book also about Meghan and Harry, but he hates them. So he wrote the hater-ass version of Finding Freedom.
Yeah.
And he uncovered this story that one of the reasons Meghan and Kate hate each other, or no, this was in Harry's book. Harry told this story. Harry said that Meghan and Kate hate each other because Kate did something dumb and Meghan said, oh, do you have baby brain? So Tom Bauer, this like 80-year-old journalist who hates Meghan and Harry, went on an Australian talk show and Sarah discovered this diamond in the rough clip of him where he's like, they asked if she had this, and then Meghan said that Kate had the brains of a baby.
And it's like, can you imagine an infant implying that Kate had the brain of an infant? And it's like, whoa.
It's like, dude, that's not what baby brain means.
Baby brain does not mean that she was saying, like, she has the mind of a little baby.
Yeah, no, that's what he thought, the brains of a baby. And the fact that brains was plural, it makes it even better. But yeah, so Tom Bauer was on the Piers Morgan show. And him and Piers, they also were like, I don't know, Piers Morgan, whenever he talks to a person of color about racism, he does it in the dumbest way possible, which is, well, you must be racist against white people. And he was pulling that. This guy that he had on was like, you know, I don't think the individuals in the British family are racist, and I don't even know if that matters. What matters is the institution. The institution is symbolic of white supremacy. And then Piers Morgan is like, I can't believe you're sitting here saying that everyone in the British royal family is a white supremacist. And you're just like, no, that's not what he said. But anyway, I think the last time we talked about this, you and I came to the same conclusion, which is it is a little bit out of touch and ill-advised for the royals to be sitting there being like, I wonder how dark your baby's gonna be, even if they meant it, like, meant no harm by it. It's still like, guys, like, don't say that out loud. And Tom Bauer said that in his book, the person was I think this is what happened, you have to tell me.
I thought it was Camilla.
He said it was Camilla, and that she was like, wouldn't it be funny if the baby has a ginger afro? Would it be funny, Camilla?
Do you think that informed Ice Spice?
Ice Spice, yeah.
Like, Ice Spice is literally the product of that joke. What if he does look like this?
You think she said, you know what, I'm going to capitalize on the racism route? And
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it's like, is she an industry plant? I don't know about that, but I do know she's reading the tabs.
It's a good theory.
I saw some pictures of her right before she blew up, and she just had sort of normie hair.
It's a good time to remind people that you were friends with the Cumtown guys before they got famous.
Oh, right.
For making an Ice Spice joke.
I come from that school of Ice Spice jokes.
I know. I'm afraid to even say anything about Ice Spice because it's to cancellation.
No, let me adjacent. Tell you something. Ice Spice and Taylor don't know each other. And did you have you? I've been wanting to ask you this for weeks. Maybe I even already did ask you. Have you seen that clip that's going around of them sitting next to each other at the VMAs watching Demi's heart attack?
What?
There's a video going around, a viral video of Taylor like grabbing Ice Spice's hand at the VMAs, being like, "Put in my hand. No, I don't want to fall in love." And Ice Spice has clearly never heard the song before. And this video is going around and it's like being promoted, like Ice Spice and Taylor are really good friends. And like, then Travis Kelce's like, "Yeah, we wanted to see Ice Spice on SNL. So he went. Taylor's good friend, Ice Spice." I'm like, there's no way they were good friends. They met because of Calm Down. And maybe like the industry, but like they only met because of Calm Down. And then they did like a karma draft. But there's this like weird video going around where Taylor's trying to bro Ice Spice on the lyrics while Demi is singing. And Ice Spice clearly doesn't know the song and doesn't want Taylor to touch her. And it's so awkward to me. I can't believe anybody's being like best friends. It's so weird.
And you just sent me that. I'm still too scared to say anything about Ice Spice. She's a conversational podcasting but third rail.
Like, if anything, she's shown that like she's resilient through and through.
Yeah, for sure.
She's like, yeah, I got an Annie wig. Fuck off.
You can't say it's an Annie wig. It's so.
It's an Annie wig.
You're playing with fire.
So is she.
With the hair. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus. All right.
No, real talk though. Isn't that their nightmare of who they thought she was going to look like?
I know. That's what Camilla thought would be so hilarious.
Which like, wouldn't like be funny. Camilla. It would be like a primetime rapper.
Yeah. And I just hope someone sat Camilla down and was like, "Camilla, why do you think it would be funny for someone to have a ginger afro? Let's unpack this. Let's talk about your anti-Irish biases. Let's talk about your anti-blackness. Like, let's go through, let's run the gamut here. Why is a ginger afro funny, Camilla? Because looking at your face, and I could giggle a little at that."
Right. We could totally clown Camilla if we wanted to.
Yeah, like, why is a ginger afro funny? Look in the mirror.
I think Ice Spice looks cool, actually. But Camilla might have also a bad sense of humor. I don't know if it's... I think the big question is, like, whether or not these things are, like, overtly racist, or if race is just a component in the conversation.
Right. I mean, the guy's name was Kehinde Andrews, who was on Piers Morgan. He was like, "Listen, no black or brown people care about this story because we already think the royal family's racist."
Right, like, right. It's sort of like the least of their concerns.
No one thinks the royal family is like, it's not that everyone thinks they're racist. It's just that if they're going to have some blind spots and say some dumb shit, no one's going to be surprised about it. So I guess Tom Bauer maybe got it wrong. He said it was Camilla. So let's talk about how this made it into the Dutch version of the book. So, okay. Omid kind of tried to play it off like this was a mistranslation.
Yes.
And it doesn't make any sense. What would make more sense, and what the publisher then came out and sort of implied with their statement, was this was in the manuscript and maybe this was an earlier draft. Omid then said, he said in an interview at some point, he knows who the royal racists are, but he couldn't put it in the book because of British libel laws. So he, now the question is, did he sneak Holland, I had to remember again what the country was, this manuscript, brains of a baby, on purpose so that the names would come out?
Right.
Because that would be a very expensive highly gamble. Plausible.
Or in terms of context, Omid Scobie is also a mixed race journalist. And what he says in interviews is that he's now actually not a Royal Road reporter. He's a US reporter who happens to be mixed race from the UK. So I do think there's a part of him that might have his own little agenda where he's just like, okay, for the record, I'm mixed, and it is insulting.
That's literally just my take.
I don't know.
He would say it if, is he mixed race though?
Yes. Yes. He's half Persian, half Welsh.
Okay. I thought he was just fully Iranian. Yeah.
No, but he's both.
Okay. So I think that...
And he looks like he's in the seventh grade for some reason, just side note.
It's the Botox. He has a lot of Botox.
Oh, shit.
Are you serious? Did you see his face?
He looks like... I just watched May December, and he looks like the seventh grader Mary Kay Letourneau ended up with.
I know. I need to watch that. Vili
Fulau. It's so good.
That was the seventh grader's name.
And the guy who plays him, Charles Melton, made a fan. Made a fan. I love that little groomed big man. Brilliant performance as a post-grooming adult.
Oh, God. Yeah, we have to watch that. It's not so out good. Here, though. It's like someone else got the UK distribution rights, so I can't watch it on Netflix yet. Well,
oh, it's so good. It's so worth it. It's great. And that's actually an interesting. I would love to do like, well, I don't know if that's like too controversial, but like, that's an interesting, because that's a real story. Like, that is interesting.
We need to talk about that. Yeah, but okay. Yeah. The thing about Omid is, with Finding Freedom, with his career so far, he has sort of burned every bridge in the royal world.
Yes.
Because he has put his flag so firmly in the Meghan and Harry camp, and he pretends to be impartial, but Meghan collaborated with him on the first book. She sent him information directly, like, well, she had her aide do it for her, but the emails came out. We know what she told him because it was a court case. Now for this book, he says, oh, Meghan doesn't brief me on stuff, but we have mutual friends. The thing is,
convenient friends.
Right. What do you mean friends? Her publicist? And like,
right, her publicist is not like a mutual friend. That's actually how she would communicate with you.
Right. Exactly. And if she did have, like, let's say Omid is secretly best friends with Serena Williams. Meghan is going to know that. And she's going to say to Serena, do not talk to this guy, because the last time I talked to him, I ended up accidentally committing perjury. Maybe accidentally, maybe on purpose. I can't talk to this guy anymore because he's a journalist. He's writing these books. Like, the fact that they have quote unquote friends that speak to both of them is a tacit endorsement of the book, don't you think?
Yeah, like, I do. Yeah.
There's no way that anyone who's friends with Meghan is talking to that guy and then remaining friends. Like, Meghan would cut them off unless she wanted them to talk to him.
100%. But I also think that's like sort of part of Omid's like silent selling strategy. Like, I think we would be interested in Endgame. We want to read the end game because I want to end the monarchy. Do you think he named it because Taylor's so in right now? That's what I want to know. Do you think he ended it because of, do you think that he changed the name of the book because of the Taylor Travis relationship and how end game is so searchable now?
No,
because that would be brilliant.
No, that's been the name for like over a year. They announced it. He announced it a while ago. Yeah.
Fate. Life finds a way.
Yeah.
But like,
the thing people need to know if they're going to read this book and if they're going to analyze any of the stuff that comes out of it is like, no actual. I mean, if a palace insider is actually talking to this guy at this point, it's someone with an axe to grind. It's Barrow from Downton Abbey. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes. Yes.
That's who's talking to Omid. It's the person who actually hates everyone, doesn't like his coworkers, doesn't like his bosses, and wants to burn it to the ground. Like, those are the only insiders that are talking to him.
Right. Pissed off below the house. Right. And the house.
Even if you are pissed off, I don't, like, you would probably go to someone who's more respected at this point, no offense, than Omid, because Omid is known as, like, sort of a Sussex shill now. So, like, if you really were so pissed off, you would go to Roy Anika at the Times, or you would go to, like, one of these other gazillion royal reporters that people actually listen to. You wouldn't really go to Omid. So,
because you're saying just to understand, you're saying that Omid has, like, lost his credibility because, whether it's true or not, there's evidence, I guess, that he had a direct pipeline to the Sussexes and that they were giving him information in whatever way. And everybody knows that.
It's not that he's lost his credibility. It's just everything else you said. Like, it's just everything you read in this book. You need to be like, this is coming from people who are anti-royal family, pro-Sussex, and just filter it through that. You know what I mean?
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I was listening to an interview between him and Piers this morning. And he was saying, it's
yours in Omid,
I believe, maybe not, but it was like all playing in the background as I was like getting my coffee. But Omid was saying on some interview, maybe it was just a different morning show, but he was basically saying, like, for anybody to think that I'm not a monarchist would be insane. Like, I have given multiple examples of why I am pro monarchy. Like, Omid would say that he's not anti monarchy.
That's gaslighting. That's crazy.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Because I don't really know, but he said, like, I'm not anti-monarchy, but I do think that because we, the taxpayers, are paying for the monarchy, that we should know everything that goes on, because this is the institution that we're paying for.
Yeah, like I would say, I mean, I covered the royal family for Us Weekly and Newsweek, and I didn't pretend I was pro monarchy. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I wasn't sitting there.
Would you?
Like,
but you don't have like a heart. I don't know if you, I mean, I don't know if I feel like you're like anti-monarchy either. Like, I think you're kind of neutral.
So my thing is, I'm a visitor in this country and I'm very happy to be here because the U.S. is not, is the U.S. is flopping hard. So like, I
feel hard, dude.
Yeah. For me, I don't know if I have a right to an opinion. Obviously, everyone has a right to an opinion, but I'm just like, it's not even a matter of people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. It's like people living in a hut burnt of shit, made of shit that's burning to the ground shouldn't throw stones at the country that is giving me free healthcare and saved my baby. You know what I mean?
Sure. So like, yeah.
If I was building a country from the ground up, would it be a monarchy? No.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like,
yes.
I understand why people like it.
When there's like not real news, I'm like, what are you guys even good for?
I know. I love to follow the gossip.
Like, there's the ultimate like reality TV show, like of all time.
Exactly. I'm pro that part of it. It's fun and entertaining and fascinating to me to see, like, to see them try to carve out a role in the modern world is interesting in and of itself because they don't need to exist anymore. They don't really provide anything besides the reality show. So like, I'm pro that part of it just from a, you know, rubbernecking point of view, but, I'm not going to be, and we are writing a book about the royal family and astrology. And when we go on the book tour, I'm not going to be sitting there like, listen, I'm pro monarchy. Like that's.
No, we're going to be like, we're pro monarchy coloring book.
Yes, exactly.
Pro monarchy astrology coloring book.
We're pro Scorpios.
Sure.
Yes. We love our Scorpio King. He's brooding. He's moody. He's interesting.
And he's emo.
He's emo. But okay. So what do you think? Do you have Omid's chart? And can Omid's chart answer the question? Did he leave it in on purpose? Is this all a publicity stunt or was it truly an accident?
Well, okay. First and foremost, what I just want to say, I don't know. Tell me to cut this or not. But on the record, you were telling me when you were like, pull up Omid's chart and you were like, but his birth year might be wrong because he's known to lie. And it's like, I feel like that could be like, this could be the pod that takes him down. Like, I feel like of all the things that he wants said about him, known to lie. And
it's
how
well
could
known.
He be known? That's okay. First and foremost, what
he lied
a
about
bad
his age.
Look. What a bad look.
Yeah, he lied about his age. He pretended to be 33 when he was 38. And that was like, and you know, he's a journalist.
I mean, like, don't we all, but not like when we're writing tell-alls about.
I know. When your job is, right, when your job is literally journalism, you actually kind of
tell the truth.
Tell the truth, yeah. But also, I mean, I don't think that ruins his credibility in terms of his actual job. I just think it's kind of fun. It's like Brian Williams. Remember when he was like, I saved 5 Afghani children.
Yeah, but that's so, no, I think that's so bad. I feel like that was the end of Brian Williams. Like, blah, 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 he apologized. But like, no, I feel like you don't do that. Like, the one requirement of journalists worldwide is that you're truth tellers. Come on.
I know. And but didn't it made you feel a little bit bad for him in the same way it makes me feel a little bit bad for Scobie because they're it's not a lie about something consequential. It's a lie to make themselves look better. And it's just
right.
So
it's like
sad.
A vanity lie. It's a vanity lie.
Yeah. And it's just like, you're going down. That's the ship you're going down on is just I'm 5 years younger. Like, yikes.
I know. But I also there's a part of me now that I'm like 37 and I feel 28 that it's like, okay, like hypothetically, like on paper, I'm 37, but right. Like in actuality, in reality, I'm more of a 27, you know? So
hold on one sec. I need to get her back on here. Will you bring, I'll just feed her.
Just get on the set.
Yeah.
So let's take a look.
I'm
going to
mute. You start telling me about him.
Okay, so according to Wikipedia, Omid was born in 1981. Does that ring, give me a thumbs up or thumb down, like, does that ring real to you? 1981. He's 40s. So If he was, in fact, born in 1981, that would make Omen Scobie a Cancer sun with a Leo moon, Leo moon, Leo Venus, Leo North node, and his Mercury and his Mars are nearly conjunct in Gemini. So there's something interesting here to me with this. I mean, you know my chart. I am heavily concentrated in the like Gemini, Cancer, Leo realm. That's sort of my realm. And I will say that this is the chart of somebody who, like, Mars conjunct Mercury in Gemini, he is a storyteller. He is motivated and propelled by good storytelling. He's a Cancer sun, so, like, ultimately he wants to be, like, a safe space for the royal stories. But then that Moon, Venus, and North node in Leo means that he has a little bit of a... performative emotional nature. So okay. Based on his chart, I think it is extremely convenient to I think it's a very funny thing to do to be like, okay, look, let's release the book everywhere except for the Netherlands. I also think the Netherlands as like a name has always just cracked me up in general because it's just like, where is it? Like the Netherlands. It's like, oh, it's way over there. Like, I feel like Netherlands implies like this is in the Nethers.
It's in the right. Like it's inconsequential.
It's inconsequential. It's in the way off Netherlands. And that's why I'm like, let's call it Holland because that feels more country to me. Whereas like the Netherlands is like what I call my private parts. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like there's like the Netherlands has this sort of like, other there, over there connotation, which is not really true. It's just the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Based on his chart, I could totally see him sort of getting off on a little bit of like sort of hubbub, dramatic hubbub from a story that wasn't necessarily true. Gemini isn't really concerned with like the truth. Gemini is concerned with all the possibilities of the story. So the fact that he has his Mercury and his Mars conjunct at late degrees in Gemini to me indicates that he's sort of like, send Caden Charles to the Netherlands.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it was an accident. I don't think there is any possible way, unless there is like a Dutch translator with a bone to pick with Omid, like unless there's like some real personal shit that comes out between whoever that translator was and Omid, there's almost no way that they would have just made some shit up,
right? And it would be an open and shut legal case if you wanted to sue the translator who log jammed in this damning information, like
I just find that to be really hard to believe. Based on his chart, I think this is a guy who like wants to stay sort of safe, but wants to, you know, it's in the same vein of like a child throwing a fit because they feel so safe in a way, like a kid arching his back at 3 years old. I hate ice cream. It's like, you love ice cream, kid. Like you don't need to do this like performance just because you're tired that you hate ice cream. That is the vibe I get from Omid Scobie's chart. It's like this guy gets off on telling the side of the story that's going to get a reaction. And then that sun in Cancer, he's going to try to be like, well, wait, no. Like that was an accident or like that was a fluke. I think he 100% sent the Netherlands, the over therelands, a different copy and planned to, or maybe it was an accident, but I think 100% he didn't mean to publish that in the UK or in the United States. I think
because he knew that
it's not true.
It needs to look like an accident. Yeah, if that were true. So I think that like the only way we're going to know for sure what happened is if there is a cascade of lawsuits. The first lawsuit would need to be Charles and Kate suing Omid. And then if he gave the wrong manuscript to the Netherlands, he's going to have to pay up because that was his mistake, or his publisher will have to pay up. But if he gave the right manuscript to the Netherlands and they added in those names, then they're going to have to pay up. So like, you could find out the truth through lawsuits. But the thing is, he's gambling on the fact that I don't think Charles would ever sue for this. And maybe we should bring up Charles and Kate's charts now. I don't think Charles is suing over this because he is never complain, never explain till he dies. Kate would maybe want to sue because Kate has sued before. Kate sued some French tabloids for publishing topless photos of her on a vacation because she was right. Sunbathing topless, believe it or not. And they took long lens paparazzi shots of her and she sued for like invasion of privacy. So Kate actually does have a history of suing, and I could see her maybe because it does make her look really bad. And she has still years and years and years, decades to go in the public eye. And she would want to set the record straight on this, whereas Charles is sort of already in his twilight years. And I could just see him kind of being like, you know what? I don't want to get, like, everything is so messy with my son already. I don't want to get another whole lawsuit going over something involving Harry. Like, just let sleeping dogs lie, wait for it to die down. But he is a Scorpio. So tell me what you think in his... Okay, you have Kate's chart up first. Tell me, first of all, do you think Kate said anything racist? Do you think Kate is racist? Does she have racist chart elements? I know that's not a thing, but let's have fun with it.
Yeah, I gotta say, I don't know if I can conclusively say that someone is or is not racist based on their astrology.
But, yeah, you can't.
But what I will say is, I do believe Harry when he says in Spat that Kate encouraged him to be a Nazi for Halloween.
Oh, God.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, you know, I think it's highly possible that there was a round table, jovial, lighthearted conversation about will the baby look like Ice Spice? And I just think that there is such a fine line between a racial conversation versus a racist conversation.
Right. Well, that was the really other really funny thing they were saying on the Piers Morgan segment is they kept being like, were the remarks racial in tone? And it's like, that doesn't mean anything. Do you mean racist?
Right.
Because racial, yes, they were racial. Of course, they were racial. That doesn't.
They were obviously racial. They were obviously racial.
Right.
But I don't see the royal family having, I guess maybe this is a question then for you. What is the difference between like an on record conversation versus like a reported conversation? Because I would have a hard time believing that on record, any of the royals would have any kind of even racial conversation to begin with.
Well, there was no reporter in the room. It was a private conversation.
So it's a private conversation either way. So that means that like, no matter what, the way that he is getting the information, no way around it. It's secondhand.
Right. So Omid would be getting it secondhand. Well, actually, he'd be getting it third hand because he is claiming or implying that he saw a letter that Meghan wrote to Charles about the comments. So Meghan allegedly named Charles and Kate in the letter.
Okay.
And Omid is implying that he saw the letter. Now, here's the other thing. And this is why I think purely my opinion that Omid might have made it up, because if he did see the letter, that is the scoop of all time. That is the scoop of the century.
Yeah.
To actually seen the letter and know those names, you would never just accidentally slide it into the Dutch version. Like, you would figure out a way to prove
that. You're saying he would say it outright.
He would say it because he would find a way to prove it so that he could say it without risk of libel, because that is the biggest scoop of all time on the royal beat. Like, he would have been, he would be beating every single other reporter to the one story they've been trying to get for 4 years. So
yeah, but even if that is what the letter said, it's still not necessarily a fact, because it is Meghan's interpretation of, like, the whole thing, right, is so sketchy, because like, no matter what, unless there was a reporter in the room, nobody can really report on the context, the tone, or the exact words that were said and by who. There's no way.
Right. And the other thing about it is, like, it was a casual family conversation, and half of the people involved probably don't even remember.
Right. Like, what they said. And I think it's important to, right, like, I do come from come town beginnings. And like, sometimes I do say things in jest that are completely benign, and I'm literally just trying to get a laugh out of whoever I'm talking to. And it wouldn't necessarily be like, because nobody gives a fuck about my opinion, like, it wouldn't be like twisted and turned into some like story about my, like, you know, my racism or like my political affinities or whatever. But in this case, because everything is being so, I just feel like Meghan and Harry have taken they have stuck their flag in, like, we are taking everything personally. And right, therefore, anything that was said that struck them as insulting may or may not have been delivered that way, meant that way, or even said that way. Like, I'm not saying that the royal family is or is not racist, but I am saying that there's no way that in a private family conversation, as a third hand source, we can get any sort of, unless there's like, and it doesn't sound like even in the Dutch version, there's any sort of like story. Quote. Like, there's no quote, there's no like detailed story. If Meghan felt a certain way, and even if she shared what she felt in a letter to the king, that isn't a fact. It just isn't. So,
right,
I don't
but
know.
If Omid had seen, now this is where I need my mom to tell me if I'm telling the truth.
Yes.
If Omid had seen the letter and he knew it was the letter, and the letter said from Meghan to Charles, I'm very sad that Kate Middleton said your baby's going to have an afro. If he saw that letter, wouldn't he be allowed to quote the letter? Legally,
right,
he would be allowed to say, I, yes, as a journalist, saw the letter and here's what it said.
Would he be allowed? You mean in his public, in his publication?
So that the wire's facing me.
I'm a real pro, Sarah.
I'm loving this so hard. Come on, every pod, Matt.
Okay, so a letter can't be libelous by itself. There are several things that you need to do if you want to prove libel. One of them is that you have to prove that the libelous statement was published. And letters are not published. Letters are between a couple of people. So it's not libelous. But if he uses the letter and puts it into a book and then it becomes public, then it's a lawsuit.
So he, let me see.
So in that case, he would take the fall for that, for publishing that information, not Meghan, because Meghan's letter was private. Omid is making it public, even if she shared it with him. So Omid is the one, he wouldn't be able to say, if he gets sued, oh, well, I'm just repeating Meghan's letter. They would say, well, you're the one who made it public, so you are liable for libel.
And there are a whole list of people who would be liable with him, the publisher, let's see, him, of course, anyone who helped him to write the book, they'd have a slew of defendants, and of course they would go after every defendant they could find.
Right, like even the publisher would be at risk.
Right, so okay, this makes sense for why even if he did see the letter, he wouldn't want to publish it, because the other thing, Sarah, about libel is if it's true, it's not libel. You can't sue someone for libel. Like if I was like, Sarah's racist. Well, no, that's an opinion, so you can't prove or disprove that. But if I said that you said something and you didn't actually say it, or you did say it, they couldn't sue me for libel. Like if you're reporting the truth, that's legal. That's fully legal. And you can't be sued for libel for that. So
sounds like from what mom's saying is that, like, and maybe I misinterpreted, but like if it's a letter that's meant for private correspondence only, then it just shouldn't be published, because no matter what, that letter is still just a private correspondence between people, and it isn't actually like
the publisher is
isn't
assuming...
a journalist. It is not a journalistic piece of evidence. It's a personal piece of evidence.
And the publisher is then assuming responsibility for whether it's true or not. So the thing is, if Megan is lying in the letter, that's fine. She's allowed to lie in a letter.
Right.
But if Omid then publishes her lie, he's the one who gets sued for it because he didn't do his due diligence. But I would say...
It's like, how do you do due diligence on a personal... correspondence where people weren't actually in the room when it happened,
Right. You would have to be able to talk to someone who was also there and get like a sworn statement from them or something saying this is exactly what happened. So I get why he took it out, but it does make me think that he did. I mean, it makes me think that is what the letter said. I think that is what the letter said, but I don't know.
What are your thoughts?
I think that he may have had the book published with that little piece in it so that the Brits could read it. Because isn't there a law here that you can't publish any negative news about the royal family?
No.
Unless it was published somewhere first?
That's not a law. It's just kind of the precedent. So
that's
you can
interesting
publish...
though, because I feel like that in and of itself is like sort of fucked up re-journalism. Like,
right.
It's
You can publish whatever you want. It's just that a lot of the journalists here have a surprising amount of deference to the royal family, and they don't want to piss them off, and they don't want to lose access. Like, it's really weird. No one here would
interesting
touch...
like stronghold the monarchy has on, because I feel like at the very, I mean, I guess maybe it exists in the United States too, like when it comes to like the president or like. But I,
no,
but I don't
it doesn't.
Think
not
so.
At all.
I don't
no,
think
Sarah,
so, right?
Not.
Like, no.
No,
like,
not at all.
I mean, I was going to say that, and then I was like, re-Trump. Like, now we were all, like, taking him down. So, like, I don't know. I feel like it's an interesting, like, entry into the journalistic conversation when you have people where there's, like, okay, like report the truth, but it's like, well
then back in the-
you're kind of, like, you're getting out of journalist zone.
Well, remember, I mean, we used to maybe have a little bit more deference because when FDR was president, he was in a wheelchair and no one reported that. And they always shot him from the waist up so that no one knew he was in a wheelchair.
Is that true?
Yeah, nobody knew he was in a wheelchair. He had polio as a kid. But I think that was, would you say that was out of deference, or was it out of it would be too tacky and below the belt to report that?
Not below the belt, Mom. Come on.
Oh, God.
I think it was a boys club back then, and they sort of followed what their rules were, their general old time rules. Kennedy, he had, let's see, what did he do? He used to call press conferences with the All Boys Network, and they used to have a great time. They used to laugh and carry on, and he would say bawdy things. And it never saw the light of day. But then when the whole Watergate thing happened, things changed. And that's when everything was
on the record.
And if you went off the record, the reporter had to find two other independent sources for anything that they received from a source. So that's the way American journalism is now. You have to have sources and proof from other people. The reason why I think Kate would never sue is because if she does, everything is fair game for lawyers on the other side. They will dig up everything they can find related or unrelated to the case.
Right.
Which is what happened. You see that a lot in like divorce, obviously, filings. And like, I think that's kind of what happened with Meghan and Harry, because when they sued the Daily Mail ended up, you know, getting, yeah, all this extra information. It was like a bonanza for them. That is why a lot of the time they don't sue. But I mean, the thing is, Kate did sue those French tabloids when they published those topless photos of her. But that,
well, because I feel like that was like so cut and dry.
Yeah, and it wasn't libel. It wasn't like
that was like don't post my nudes.
Yeah.
Although I actually, though, in a way, because it was public, I feel like in a way.
Well, that's
how could she have sued for that?
In the U.S., she would lose because she was right in a public area, and they had every right to take pictures or, you know, videotape it, anything they wanted.
Because honestly, I would
the
be
best
so
press laws in the world.
I would be so lucky if somebody posted a pic of my tits when they were in their 20s. Like, that's like best case scenario. Honestly, like remember me that way, you know? Like,
yeah. Okay,
she's
what
lucky
do you think?
We remember her, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Now, thank you so much, Mommy. That was incredibly informative.
Excellent.
And
I also want to say, like, I feel like, do you think it has anything to do with, like, sex and power that they were like, yeah, make him think he's a linebacker. Like, make him look like FDR. Because other than the polio, I think FDR was, like, objectively sort of attractive. Like,
I think
I
you're thinking of Teddy.
Oh, FDR wasn't hot.
Teddy Roosevelt was the linebacker, though.
No, but it's like, pretend he's not in a wheelchair. Like waist up, guy's hot.
Right. They also probably were like, we don't want, you know, Germany to get wind of this. Like, we don't want all these other countries to think that
right
we have a quote unquote weak president. Yeah, that probably was part of it.
Like,
too.
There probably is some, like, political strategy involved, even if it's just, like, hot guys, like, wrong.
But the thing is, journalists aren't supposed to have a political strategy. Like it,
right,
it
right.
To like, but then, yeah, if that was the thought process, there probably would have been some underground papers that were like communist or anti-American, whatever.
Right,
way that published it. Yeah,
it's so interesting. I mean, I just think it's. I think it's highly unlikely that the Dutch press took it upon themselves to insert chapters into this book.
The translator. That's who Omid
right
is kind of trying to say.
The translator. Like, that would be that's like a death wish. It's like, why would someone do that? Why would someone be like, blah, blah, blah.
I also think it's pretty
crazy
unlikely.
To do.
Yeah, I also think it's pretty unlikely that Omid made it up and put it in a draft. Like,
right. I think it's I think what he did was so strategic, because I think he basically like sent a draft there and then was like, this isn't the final draft. I don't know why he's gone German for this, but like, I feel like he sent a draft there to be like, my bestie's gonna proof it. And then like low key behind the scenes, he was like, yeah, fucking leak it. Like, yeah. And then in the draft that actually gets published, he's like, no. I just think it's also convenient that it's like, oh, in the wherever lands, they said this.
Yeah.
I think it's he is just trying to, like, again, Leo Venus, Leo Moon, Leo North Node. Omid is trying to, like, it's actually surprising to me, even what you just said. So Finding Freedom was his first book?
It was his first book about the royals, but I don't know, maybe he had one before.
I just feel like he's an interesting character because, like, part of his whole, like, just real quick, like, when we look at his chart, it's like, we don't know the time he was born. So we don't know his rising is, but he has so much, like, Mars conjunct Mercury in Gemini, exactly opposite his Neptune in Sag. It's like, this guy is making a living on, how do I put it? Like, delivering the stories that like might be fantasies or that like are kind of not necessarily true, but that are piquing the interest and the attention of the world stage. And I think he's being super careful not to publish it in the UK, but this chart, I mean, he's so heavily concentrated. And I, again, takes one to know one. Gemini rising, Cancer sun, Leo Mercury. Like, I get him. Sometimes you say things that are. Do I even have an opinion on Ice Spice? No, no.
Right.
Earlier, because what? Like, I think he's kind of in the juvenile stage of just saying stuff, trying to get attention. I think this guy's trying to get, I think in a way what he's done is successful, because whether or not we read the book or we believe him or don't believe him, we're talking about him now. And ultimately that's what his Leo moon wants.
Right. And he has, and I say this as a girl who loves a good injection, he has so much Botox and so much fillers that he wants to be in the spotlight. And so do I. And that's why I get Botox and fillers. Do you know what I mean?
No, he literally looks like Fooly.
Yeah. What I don't understand is why Megan would ever associate with him again. Because, like I said, it landed her in court last time. It got her caught committing perjury to the country that she's supposed to be a princess of. Like, I don't think she would. I don't think she's selling him. I don't think she's showing him letters. It would be so stupid. It would be so dumb. And I just don't think our girl is that dumb. That said, she is a Leo. They do have an affinity in that way. She is our poster child Leo. But the other thing is with.
Why wouldn't she show him letters?
Because he's not really super respected, and this is opening up the conversation.
Yeah, but in a way, isn't that kind of, but isn't that kind of like oh, he's not respected anyway. Like, might as well give him to this guy who, I just feel like every time we've ever seen in the National Enquirer, like aliens landed in Roswell, it's like blah 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 National Enquirer. But now it's like the United States is having hearings on the aliens. It's like.
Yeah, the National Enquirer does get a lot of scoops, too.
Like, whoa!
But the thing is, her last scoop, when she revealed the royal racism row, it was to Oprah. You know, like, she can get a higher caliber of person to deliver her message instead of going back to Omid over and over again. He's sort of looked at as a shill in the British media. Like, and the U.S. media, like, if she's going to show this letter to someone, it should be Anderson Cooper. Do you know what I mean? It should be like someone who's really a boldface name, who's respected, because this is a huge, huge story. I don't think she's showing Omid the letter. Maybe she's got a Mr. Barrow of her own who showed Omid the letter, but I don't think that many people have access to it. There's absolutely no way someone on Charles's side would have shown it.
Also, that is what you're saying, that like Omid made this up simply for the Netherlands?
I don't know. Maybe it was a placeholder in the manuscript. I don't think I would never say he made it up.
In the manuscript is interesting.
Right. Like, it might have been.
Right. Like, where we might say, like, blah, 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 we'll get back to it.
Right. And maybe they accidentally sent that PDF instead of the most recent one. Do you know what I mean? Like, it could have been that kind of a mistake. Because, like, in Finding Freedom, his first book about them, it had such detail. It had a detail that Megan peed behind a bush in the African, savanna.
Oh my literally, God, love her more and more. Party girl, one of us.
I know. It was like Megan even peed behind a bush. Like, and it would be like a single tear rolled down Harry's cheek when he said this isn't this. And you're just reading this and you're like, where is he getting these details? He has to be either making them up, or Megan is giving it to him, or Harry is giving it to him.
She was like, yeah, I actually did pee behind a bush.
Yeah, like it's super detailed stuff that you would not consider yourself a journalist and make that up. It's like Hallmark movie details. And
right.
So it's like someone's giving him incredibly intimate information, or he's making it up. And then, like, if Megan was to, so that happened with Finding Freedom. That is over now. They went to court. They perjured themselves and had to apologize to the court for committing perjury. or misleading the court. That's how they termed it. So don't quote me on perjury, but they had to apologize for misleading the court after they both lied about her helping him with the book. Okay.
She's like, I did pee behind the bush.
Right. Wouldn't you, if you were her, never speak to this guy again and never let any of your friends or employees speak to this guy again? Right.
Absolutely.
My mom is nodding her head. So like,
although I just want to say though, as like a sort of like, I don't know, like I'm not like a criminal, but like I kind of love like crime and committing crimes.
You dabble.
I dabble in crime. And I guess I just feel a little bit like, how do I put it? Like if there's someone untrustworthy in the fold, there's a part of me I feel like would keep them in the fold because I could always go back to saying, but they're untrustworthy. Like, I think Megan's not an idiot. Like, I think she's brilliant. And I think she, in whatever way, knows what the fuck she's doing. And I could see keeping someone like Obi in the Scobie fold because it's like, you could always be like, oh yeah, but he like says shit. Like, I kind of.
Right. She, like, Omid has plausible deniability.
Right. So she could be like, you get this message out there and then I'm going to trash you. And he could be like, whatever, invite me to your garden party. Like, sure.
Yeah. Because, yeah. I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, there's sort of like a like, oh yeah, but he says whatever. But like, low key, if she's just like, I want everybody to know that Kate and Charles, they're racist.
Right, but she now has plausible deniability. Why would I ever collaborate with him again? I will never talk to him again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, tell me about Kate's
mind. That's my criminal mind working.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's Shakespearean. It's Hamlet-esque. Okay, tell us about Kate's chart, what you think, what Kate's chart reveals about this situation.
Well, now, before we even dive, let's dive into Kate's chart. All right, and I'll share the screen. But the other thing I want to say about this book, Re-Kate, is that if I am understanding what I was listening to on my drive correctly, the other thing that this book asserts is that Kate was, not that she was a Stepford wife, but that she was Stepford wife-like in her royal duties. Like that she sort of like became this detached monarch figure a la Elizabeth. And a lot of the journalists and the morning show stuff that I was listening to was basically saying, like, you said that Kate was like a Stepford wife. And he said, no, I did not say she was a Stepford wife. I said she was Stepford wife like her ability to just turn off her feelings.
Well, she's now, a Capricorn. What do you want? Megan is the Leo poster girl and Kate is the Capricorn poster girl. And let me tell you this, as a Capricorn myself, even if I had the thought of something like weird or potentially offensive about a family member, I would not say it because I would know to keep that inside. Now, I am a average Joe loser with no job. If I was the freaking princess of Wales,
your job is space trash.
My job is space trash. And even I know how to rein it in and, you know, demur when you bring up Ice Spice. But if I was,
at least explain away. I've come to my origins.
If I was in the royal family that everyone already thinks is racist, okay. / nose is racist, and a member of the British upper crust, which everyone already thinks / nose is racist, and a person was marrying in who was of a different race, my mouth would be a steel trap shut on the topic of race, skin color, ethnicity, anything. Like, as a Capricorn, you are not going to make that mistake. You are not going to let those words fly out of your lips. Even a low stakes cap, like the stakes are low for me. The stakes are so high for Kate. There is no way in hell. I'm not saying that she didn't think it, but she did not say that shit in front of other human beings. Right?
Well, here's the thing. hates Chiron.
Yes. She's Stepford wife. Like, a Stepford wife is
well,
not
that's
spewing.
What Omid says about her in the book.
Right. And he's right. She is.
But Kate's Chiron is in her 10th house, the Capricorn career house, with her midheaven in Taurus. It's like there is going to be some kind of a thing that dings her public persona a bit.
Okay. Why?
Because her Chiron's in the 10th house.
But what
so
does that mean?
There's a public wound. There's a public wound that we can all see that kind of either becomes the healing force, but also becomes the, you know, Chiron is that ancient kind of handicap that you bring with you. So there's a little bit.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And, like, you could argue that it's just, like, talking about how, like, she was just, like a liquor family who, like, made enough money to get into the in crowd or whatever. Isn't that what it was? Wasn't she from? Am I thinking
no,
of
party
Jared
pieces. They had a party supply company.
Party and supply.
There's also the cheating allegations. There's also the weighty Katie. There's a lot of stuff that she's.
There's
that
a
she
lot of stuff that
on.
She's been getting dinged on, like, in a public way. But I wouldn't be. I would not be surprised based on this chart. She was born exactly on a full moon eclipse. Okay. So her sun and her south node in Capricorn are opposite her moon and her north node in Cancer. Her moon and her wound are essentially the only parts of her chart that are public facing. So when you look at a chart, the bottom half of the chart is below the surface. Above the northern hemisphere of the chart, if you will, are public. So the only thing that we know about her is that she's weighty Katie, etc., and that she is kind of wanting to be like a Diana 2.0 in a way.
Moon
in
Cancer.
Moon in Cancer with her north node. She's like, no, I'm the mother of all the people of all the.
Yeah, I don't think she wants to be a Diana 2.0 though, because I think she knows that. I mean, she gets it. She gets why Diana was sort of excommunicated and she's not going to make those mistakes. She could be maybe trying to take the good parts of Diana, but she's not hugging AIDS patients, whatever the modern day equivalent of that would be. Like she's
no,
not.
And I do think that's where like the book is accurate in calling her Stepford wife, like not to say that she is like some robot, but to say that like when she realized like, okay, Will and I are actually real deal endgame. My job is now to become the queen of the UK. Then like, I'm going to need to be this like altruistic, forward facing mother figure, but not in any kind of like specific way.
Right. Her big pet project is early years development and the, you know, she's been working on it for a while. And the big thing is, oh, guess what? Early years development is important.
Like, lol, no
and
shit.
And you're like,
yeah, Kate, yeah.
Right, and it's like I said, Diana's big things were landmines, AIDS, the most controversial shit, dating Muslim guys when she was a member of
the royal
family.
That's the big difference, though.
Whereas Kate is like, oh, my cause will be babies? It's like, come on. You couldn't pick something less, more toothless than my cause is babies.
Well, but that's the big difference between like an 11th house Cancer moon versus Diana had an Aquarius moon. So she actually was a little bit like, oddly enough, Diana was not necessarily Stepford wife because she wasn't like following the rules, but she was a bit detached in the way that they're claiming that Kate is. Like Diana was detached enough. You have to be like, I have a Capricorn moon. That's why I can do death doula. Like, you have to be either a Capricorn or an Aquarius moon in order to do like death and like really dark shit because you are emotionally detached of it. Like,
right.
I'm
Diana,
emotionally detached.
Yeah, Diana would go no talksies with her family, her siblings, her friends frequently. She was constantly dropping them like an Italian. She was like Teresa Giudice. She would be like, we don't talk to that side of the family right now. You know what I mean? Like, that was right. Diana. That's cold.
Right. Like, I think Kate, as a Cancer moon, is actually much more emotional and much more present to the nuances of what everyone might say about her. I think she's being more careful than Diana ever was about the shit that she says. Like, beyond. Like, I don't see her being... I mean, that being said, though, Kate's Mercury and her Venus are conjunct in Aquarius. So there is a part of her that kind of might say shit that is detached in a way that... But again, though, I don't think it's necessarily that she was like, ew, our nephew's going to be black. I think it was like... I could see her having a conversation thinking it was never going to be repeated. Like, what, like, will he have, like, will he look like Ice Spice or whatever? Like, I could see that being something that she says without thinking. Like, Mercury in Aquarius is sort of, it is sort of detached to the micro feelings of people, even though she's a Cancer moon, but she's a Cancer moon in the 11th house with her north node. So like her purpose is to be this like Mother Teresa like figure in the world. Whereas I think her actual nature is a little bit more, I don't want to say like cruel and detached, but I think it's a little bit more Saturnian in nature. Like I think it's just more like I think 100% she could have been involved in a conversation where she was like discussing the skin tone of the baby without thinking that it was ever going to be public and without thinking that it was even mean.
Yeah. I guess I could see. I can't imagine this conversation in a non-offensive way, but it's okay. We don't need to rehash.
Though. I sort of can. Like, I don't think that it was, I mean, I think it's offensive because of like who the people in the conversation are.
Yeah.
But I could just see them sort of over cocktails, you know, kind of broing over like, blah, blah, like I wonder what.
Yeah. Okay. Last but not least, let's look at Charles's chart. Do we think Charles was one of the people who talked about it? I mean, that's the thing. We don't know what the conversation was, but I don't know what I think about this.
Hold on. Let me just text my 3 o'clock.
What time is it there?
I have a client in a minute, but now Charles is a Scorpio sun, Mercury south node in Scorpio. He is a 0 degree moon in Taurus, north node in Taurus. Oh, sorry. 0 degree moon conjunct north node in the 10th house, career house in Taurus. The thing about Scorpio energy is that, like, it is depraved a little bit. Like, Scorpio energy, like, is, like, withholding and, like, traumatized and a little bit dark. It's the underworld, you know? I could 100% see him being in what he thought was an at home. I think he and Kate are in the same boat here where they think, you know, they're in the southern horizon of the chart. They think that they're just like safe in an at home conversation, just talking shit. Like if everything offensive that I've ever said that's been caught from this pod somehow came to light and they were really like using it against me as the monarch of our nation, like it would look so bad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So bad. Well, but it's like, I'm a Canadian and like mean no harm, but it's like, who the fuck even cares what Sarah says? I think Kate and Charles both found themselves in a position where they may have learned the hard way that no conversation was actually off the record and that no conversation was actually, like there was no actual safe space for them to just like bro about like LOL, it's gonna look like I suppose. Like, so I 100% could see where both of these people were just saying shit, like in a casual post cocktail conversation, just talking shit. And then it became published like it was news, or then it's, you know, Megan like heard about it or remembered it, or, you know, and then Megan wrote it in a letter. And then I don't think either of them on any record in terms of what they thought was about to be published thought that they were saying anything racist or racial on the record. I think they probably were shocked to find, like, wait, you guys were like taking notes? You guys were quoting me? You guys were writing this in a letter? Like, I think they're both like, come on. Like, sure, I made a Ice Spice joke.
Yeah.
That's well, like, I don't think either of them would have ever said anything that they thought was actually going to be publicized.
Yeah.
Any level, you know, that would be hurtful.
Do you know what's interesting is that no one from any camp has leaked what the truth is. And you would think that they would have authorized someone to leak that by now if it was, in fact, not offensive. Because Megan implied that it was concerns over the baby's skin tone. Concerns. That is the word that's really bad. But, like, they didn't even leak, here is what, like, a source close to so-and-so says, here's what happened. And I think that now they really need to do that. They really need to do that.
Concerns is so subjective.
Right. And this, but the thing is, like, this story is going to keep following all of them. It's going to keep following because she said it wasn't Queen Elizabeth or Prince Philip, or Harry said that or something afterward. He called Gail King and said, oh, you can tell everyone it wasn't the Queen or Prince Philip, which is absurd. And then, so for the rest of their lives, they've, like, what Harry and Meghan did with this is, like, so genius, because they framed all four of them. They framed Charles, Camilla, Will, and Kate. And this is going to hang over all of their heads and taint their legacy for the rest of their lives. So, like, someone does need to take the fall. Even if it wasn't Camilla, I feel like Camilla is who everyone already hates. They just need to say, hey, look, Camilla said, is the baby going to look like Ice Spice? And that's it. And it's over. End of story. You know, because they need to end this. The story needs to end. End game.
Well, and
end
I actually think, if anything, Camilla's, like, duty as the queen, but, like, she knows that she's, like, the queen de facto. Like,
right.
Like, set Kate up for success, Mom.
Right. Right. That's like, it. Kate is going to be on the throne much longer. But Camilla probably feels at this point like she has taken such a beating in the press. That's why it also always was so funny that, like, I don't know, not funny, but just for Meghan and Harry to say that Meghan was uniquely, you know, victimized in the press.
It's like, nobody hates anybody more than everyone hates Camilla. Except
everyone hates Camilla. Everyone. And, like,
I love Camilla.
You love her. You're the only person. And I don't know. I could see Camilla being like, I could see Camilla being like, I am not taking the fall for this shit. I've had enough. Like, everyone knows he said he wanted to be my tampon. I've been going through this for 50 years. I'm done, you know, or 30, 40 years. You know, I could see her not taking the fall. But if I was the royal advisors, I would be sitting there saying, Camilla, you just got to eat this. You got to eat this one.
Camilla was a cool person. She might just be like, look, put it on me.
Yeah. And I think she is a cool person. I like her. If anyone in that family, even though I think, wouldn't it be funny if the baby had a ginger afro, is garbage bullshit thing to say. I do think if anyone in that family has any shot of being funny, it's her.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think that she meant it in a, it's just like hard because it's like, because there were no reporters in the room, we're never going to know.
Yeah, we're never going to know. Okay.
What the context was.
We're never going to know. I hope this was an enlightening conversation for people anyway.
And either way, we're back.
We're back, baby. I don't think Scorpios are withholding, I have to say. I'm married to a double Scorpio. My daughter is a Scorpio moon. I think they're warm and cuddly and they're misunderstood.
Sure. Sure. They're not only withholding, but they are either, no matter what way you spin it, Scorpio is the sign of transformation. So
you can transform without withholding.
Right, but you do need to then like allow things to die, which is also painful. Scorpio is not a sign without pain.
Whatever. Okay. What are we going to talk about next time? Oh my God, Sarah, you have to watch Paris in Love season 2. It is.
Yeah.
It's so dark. It's Tennessee Williams dark. It's like, it is the craziest character study of like
a human being without desire.
Perpetual 9-year-old who has a baby, and it's just, you have to watch it. And there's these silent battles going on constantly between her husband and her mom because they both want to control her. Nikki just wants to put her in her place. It's just like it you have to watch it, and we have to talk
about
it.
Okay, I think we need to do that next. And also, you watch May December, and we can discuss both.
Yeah, we'll discuss both.
Okay, join the Patreon again. Come back to the Patreon. We're back.
Yeah. Patrons, we love you. You're going to help me pay my student loans this month. We're overdraft, but our Patreon payment is going to save Christmas, and we need it. We Huzzah. Need it bad.
Huzzah.
Yeah. All right. Patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast.
Fabulous. Wonderful. Molly, I'm so glad you're back. Naz, stay. We need you on the pod.
We need her on the pod. We need her to keep taking care of the baby so we can pod.
To be continued. Matt's the win. Mom's rock. Scorpio's yes. rock. And we do think that everybody in the royal home is racist. So
probably. I mean, how could they not be? They're just a little bit. A little racist.
Whiteys. They're big whiteys.
Yeah. Patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.